Based on the Bethlehem candle, I like to focus on Bethlehem. And to start, I'd like to invite Matthew to read the scripture on your back. You can flip it over. He's going to read it for us. Go ahead.
And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told to them.
Lynn, let's go back to that highlighted verse. "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." Would you read it with me? "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." There's a history here in this place of ministry over the years, over the last 100 years. And there's a ministry there was a history in Bethlehem. And so part of our Christmas story today, we're going to travel back in time. But there's these Bethlehem moments, and I want us to look at some Bethlehem moments and tell you one of mine as a kid. My mother used to put us all together, and we would put on, it would be cold, you know, outside, and we would have on thermal underwear. Everybody had thermal underwear, and like two or three pairs of socks because it was really cold, and like two coats and stuff, just crazy. And we'd all pile in the back of the pickup truck, but there was a covering on it, so we could like pile in there. And then we would drive down these little country roads to what were termed shut-ins. It's down in North Carolina. People that couldn't get out of their homes. And so we would go and bring Bethlehem moments. We would go bring moments to them that would be celebratory. And so we would pile out of the back of the truck. And then we would go into these houses. Now, elderly people, they have their temperatures in their homes are after getting out of a very, very cold truck with all that clothing on, and you go into an oven. You go into cooking elderly people. And you stand next to the fireplace to sing. And suddenly, you're soaking wet. And then you get to go get back and get into the frozen truck and go to the next house. I'm amazed that I'm actually alive. And we would go, and I would look down, and I could feel my socks. I could feel the sweat running down into my shoes. And I thought for sure the dye in my socks was running down my legs. And just the whole, oh my gosh, this is amazing. Anybody have some memories like that? Crazy things that you do. Well, I want us to go back and look, before we talk about the rest of that story that we just read, I want us to go back in time to Bethlehem. There's a beautiful, beautiful story around Bethlehem. It's the book of Ruth. What happened is there was a famine in the land. Does anybody know that Bethlehem means house of bread? House of bread. And there was a famine in the land. And Naomi and her husband and her two sons had gone over to live in Moab to find food and to be there. Something very drastic and horrible happened. Her husband passed away. And then, oh, by the way, her sons got married. So they were married to these Moabite women. And now each of the sons dies. This is just tragic and great, great loss. And Naomi now is so heart-crushed and just wrenched. She's so bitter in life. She'd left with the hope of things working out, just like we do in different things. And then these losses occur. Massive hardships that happen in people's lives. She's a picture of that for us. She goes out, and then Wes, she's determining she's going to go back to Bethlehem, broken, penniless, needing some kind of a male protector. And there's a feature in the Leviticus and the different Deuteronomy. There's a scripture concept that says the nearest relative can actually become what's called a kinsman redeemer. And there can be a redeeming back to come to the aid and to come to the help and to come to the rescue of a relative in time of need. Well, as she's determining this, the two young ladies that have married her sons, one of them decides to stay in Moab. But the other young lady, Ruth, and we know the story, but she says, "Where you go, I will go. Your God will be my God." And she travels with Naomi back. And through a series of events, as she gets back in town, she has no really way to support herself. And because of that biblical pattern that's been available to them for someone in their land, someone in their relatives to actually purchase the land. She had some land there to purchase the land and also to marry Ruth. And I'm not going to get into the thick of the story, but the essence of the story is this, that Ruth and Boaz hit it off. Isn't that great? Naomi says, "Go to your wealthy kinfolk and go to his fields." And he starts making sure she gets plenty of the barley and plenty of the wheat. And she's like double portioned and goes back. And so Naomi says, "Hey," and works out a situation. But many ladies are looking for their Boaz. They want a relationship with someone who can redeem things that have been lost. Is that right? So what happens is Boaz goes to the city gate, and there was one other fella that's a closer relative. And he says, so he gets 10 guys around, and here's this other fella, and there's Boaz, and he says, "Hey, you're the kinsman redeemer in this whole family. You're close to Naomi, closer than I am, and you have the right to buy the field that she has for sale." And he says, "I'm going to buy it." And he says, "Well, that's wonderful. Now, what comes along with that is Ruth, marrying Ruth and having children with Ruth in honor of the name of the son that who had died." He goes, "I'm suddenly not interested." And so he says, "I don't want to do that. You can." And he takes off his shoe. And in that, when they take off the shoe and they set it down, it means, "I relinquish my rights. I relinquish my rights to being the kinsman redeemer, to buying the land, to taking Naomi as my, I mean, to taking Ruth as my wife. I relinquish my wife." Do you know other times in the Bible where they took off their shoes? Moses, right? This is holy ground. What does take it? So the taking off of the shoe means, "I relinquish my rights. I remember," and that happened with Joshua too. When Joshua was in chapter 5 of Joshua, the book of Joshua, he came before the pre-incarnate Jesus, and he says, "Take off your shoes. This is holy ground." He relinquished your rights before the King of Glory. That's a concept I wanted to put in there, because when we come to Bethlehem moments, we want to learn to relinquish our rights to the Lord. But anyway, what happens is now Boaz is able to marry Ruth. He purchases the land, provides that security that Naomi needs. And one of the most wonderful little passages here is, if I can find it right quick. Anyway, it's at the very end of this. Here it is. Then Naomi took, get this, this is the very end. Naomi took the child after the baby's born from Ruth and laid him on her lap and became his nurse. And the women of the neighborhood gave him a name, saying, "A son has been born to Naomi." Isn't that something? The son was born to Ruth. But the restoration, let's go ahead and say Bethlehem moments are moments of restoration, number one. God wants to restore to you during this season And here's the beautiful thing about it. Whatever you have lost, whatever has been a loss to you, Jesus is your kinsman redeemer. He's the one that's close. If you're in need, if you have troubles, if you have all kinds of things that have gone wrong, everybody incurs losses in life. Everybody goes through painful things. Everybody has a struggle in some way. Jesus is our kinsman redeemer. He's the one that says, I will redeem back and buy back what everything went wrong in your life, and I will help you out. I will cause you to understand that I'm on your side. Is everybody happy about that? Now, this is leading us to a point of communion, and I have two other quick fill-in-the-blanks here. Number two, Bethlehem moments are moments of new birth. New birth. As we know in the story, he tells the angels declare to the shepherds, and the shepherds, the angels are the evangelists at this point, and they're saying, guess what? God has sent his son. You're going to be finding him in the city of David. And then they go to Bethlehem, which is 6 miles south of Jerusalem. City of David is known as Jerusalem. It'd be like Fairmont, and he's born over in Whitehall, sort of like. It's like the area, you know, so he's in the area, the city of David. But it's right down the road here. And so they go over to Bethlehem, and they find out there he is as they discover this. And this is, in essence, what the gospel is about. Somebody shares some good news to somebody else, and they go check it out. And then they have an encounter with the living Christ. That's what happens. Somebody has something happening in their life and says, man, something's going on here. And they tell somebody else because they have a fullness of his love. And I want you to have the Christmas gift of the fullness of God's love this season. Now, there's another little story. It has to do with Jesus and Nick at Night. And Nick at Night was that he met up with Nicodemus at nighttime. And he said, hey, he was asking some questions, and Jesus explained, except you a man be born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. And so he basically boils it all down to saying that you're born of water and of the Spirit. There's a natural birth and there's a spiritual birth. There's two different births. And Jesus was born, what we're looking here is saying Bethlehem, there was an actual physical birth, Jesus coming. But I'm inviting you, if you don't know the Lord, to look at this season as a season of new birth for you. Bethlehem moments are moments where you go, you know what? I need the Lord in my life. I need him in my life. It's new birth. And lastly, before we come to communion, Bethlehem moments are moments of new beginnings. New beginnings. Not only restorative moments, but new beginning moments. You can partner with the Lord and help others find their new beginnings in Christ Jesus. Even though he came and was born in Bethlehem, 30 years later, Jesus launches his ministry out of Nazareth, and he opens up Isaiah 61, and he reads a passage out loud, and this is recorded in Luke 4:18. He says, for the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he has anointed me to preach good news to the poor, for he has sent me. And I want to look at what God has sent Jesus to do. And I want to invite you to think in terms of how you could be sent to do the same thing. Are you with me? Now watch this. He was sent, he says, he sent me to heal the brokenhearted. Have you ever been around someone who's brokenhearted and had kind words and healing words to say and support and comfort? Is that all around you this season? Probably. So I want to invite you to be sensitive to people in need, and that you would be the person who brings new beginnings. Because there's a heightened awareness of what's wrong during this season in families. Is that am I right or wrong? It's like it comes to the head. What wasn't working right now is right there. And people need encouraging words. There's brokenness in their heart, broken hearts. Says, I've come, he sent me to proclaim liberty to captives. Liberty to captives. There are people hung up in areas of their life. And you can proclaim, Jesus can help you with this area of your brokenness and of your captivity. He says, he sent me to open the prison to those who are bound. This is an amazing thing because you know how a fortress, somebody can't get in it, but a prison, you can't get out of it. And there's a lot of people that have got fortress prisons in their mind. They're stuck. They come to this time of year and they want to run and they don't know what to do. But you can help by your love and care for somebody and see the Lord melt it away and be a person who brings new beginnings to someone in your life, someone in your proximity, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Oh, man, this is a good one. He sent me to comfort those who mourn. Anybody had sadness overflow your soul at any time? I know one thing that happens is around this time of year, if you've had a loved one that died during the year, and maybe died during this time, even it doesn't matter when they died, but the fact is you come to this time of year and there's that sense of mourning that begins to come. And you need to honor them in some way and just not just go and sulk and fall apart and do things to help comfort. Are you there? This is what Jesus is. He was sent to do this. And then he has a body that represents him in the earth. And that's you and me. And instead of getting self-absorbed in all of our brokenness and all of our lack, we want to reach out and say, is there something that God can do through us to help people who are mourning? Hallelujah. Provide for those who grieve, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, to bestow on them oil of gladness for mourning, to bestow on them a garment of praise instead of despair. I want to go ahead, and I think I have it on your notes here. Let's look at this right quick, and then those who are going to be serving communion, come on up. Look at the bottom of your notes there. What does it look like to be like Jesus? What does it look like? I think I have there. You can, everybody see that? You can shower healing grace on imperfect people. Does somebody see that there? Let's read it together. You can shower healing grace on imperfect people. You can comfort the outcast. Nurture and restore those who fail. Be friends with those who are struggling. Cherish and honor people. You can hold them in their arms, cry with people. Because this is giving a Bethlehem moment. This is giving a place for someone to say, life ain't happening right now. And I'll stand with you. Has anybody ever needed somebody to be stable while you're not doing so good? Now we're going to celebrate the reality. Here you go. I want to ask, by the way, as you're served, please hold on to it until all are served. We're going to partake together. Would you do that? Let's hold it together before all are hold it in your hand until, and we'll have a little moment here praying together. When Jesus with his disciples gathered around the table there before he was crucified, he said, this is my body of the new covenant. And if you look at it, there's little holes in it. And I like that because Jesus was pierced. And anything that has been a struggle to your mind, have you ever had a bad thought pierce your mind? Here's the deal. By the power of the covenant of Jesus Christ, in this moment, right now, there can come a freedom from what pierces your mind. Because you can have the revelation and understanding that Jesus Christ went to the cross and they put the crown of thorns on his head and he was pierced in your place. And the poison things that infiltrate your mind, the Lord can take them out. Would you like the Lord to just remove poisonous thinking from your mind? Anybody? Now it's an act of faith. Because Jesus lived a life that you couldn't live, and he died a death that you deserved to die, but he did it for you. And the reality is this. Jesus gives us triumph over those works of darkness that penetrate our mind. I want you to right now just lift your, kind of close your eyes if you wouldn't mind. I'm going to pray for the Lord to do a work in each of us, and then we'll partake together. I have a sense that the Holy Spirit is here to do something for each of us. It's like he's just coming into the room to weigh in on this moment. He says, I'm giving you a Bethlehem moment right now. Where you have been captive in your mind. He says, I'm coming to liberate right now from, I guess you could call it, stinking thinking. Something that is just horrible. And the Lord's breaking it right now. He's breaking it. He's saying, I'm giving you a way out of the lousy thought life right now. There's a liberty in Christ Jesus. For where the presence of the Lord is, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. And he's here right now. And we're breaking bread together, and there's a liberty that comes through breaking bread, and the revelation of who Jesus is manifesting in your life will overthrow those things. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Please just go ahead and praise him with me. Praise the Lord. Say, Lord, what I can't do, you can do. What I've struggled to do, you have the power to do in me and through me. And I come on the basis of this covenant that you've broken. Your body's been broken for me. And every place that I'm broken now, I can be whole because you've taken all of my sin and you declare on me your righteousness. You take away all the bad as I give you my sin and you give me all your good. And you establish your healing grace in my life. And I thank you for that. Let's praise the Lord for a moment. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Holy Spirit, come. Just lift those weights. In Jesus' name, lift the spirit of heaviness. Lift it now in the name of Jesus. Let the comfort come right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's hold the bread up. Pray with me. Say, Father God, in the name of Jesus, with a heart of thanksgiving, I thank you for dying for my sins and being tormented in my place and overthrowing the works of darkness. And I apply that now to my life. I rise up in my own heart and declare your victory is my victory. In the name of Jesus, I don't have to be hassled anymore. And I receive the grace of Jesus right now. And I speak against those evil thoughts. And we cast them down with the power of who you are. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead and partake together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to receive. Let's go ahead and praise the Lord. You listening to this, let's start at the beginning. You can begin again. You can begin again. You can believe. You can be healed. You can be free again. For God is here. He will make a way. You can begin. You can begin again. You can begin. You can begin again. Most people don't know this. It's amazing how people really don't understand this. But the shed blood of Jesus Christ does a couple of things. Number one, the first and foremost, you receive forgiveness of sins. You receive forgiveness of sins. What's that mean? That means God washes all your sins away from you. And I'm dumbfounded at how many people still walk around with the shame, not believing that it's true. Could you imagine standing up in front of Jesus and saying, what you did wasn't enough for me? Oh boy, what a day that would be. You think Jesus has done enough? You're thinking about it? What did he do? He took the sin of the whole world to the cross and broke the power of it to rule over us. And it's all wrapped up in the revelation of the cup. And you don't have to be under the bondage of those things that want to just take your life away. And what I love about the blood is this. It really messes with the devil. It really messes with the devil. It washes away what hell would approach you with. Because he's the accuser. And he does two things. He comes with temptation. And first he goes, hey, God loves you so much. Go ahead and do whatever you do. He'll forgive you. And he plays down the holiness of God. And he plays up the love of God. And you fall into temptation. And in the moment you do, he's the accuser. And now he plays down the love of God. And he plays up the judgment of God. And now your soul is worn out. Because now you're hating yourself for what you did. You got tricked into it. Via the entrance of the blood of the Lamb. Every place you failed, he washes it away. And says, you're clean all the way through again. That's why we come and do it. That's why we come and receive this. Because he sat there with his disciples and said, this is my blood, the blood of the new covenant. And no longer now is it the blood of bulls and goats. of oxes, of sheep. Because what that did was once a year, the high priest would go into the Holy of Holies and sprinkle the blood on the Ark of the Covenant. And he'd roll back the sins for another year so that the blessings of the Lord could come forth. But that blood of bulls and goats and sheep was a symbol pointing toward Jesus. Now Jesus comes before the eternal covenant, the eternal courtroom, literally, of heaven. And now he comes in as the high priest and he presents his own blood. And he says, now the heart can be washed and the conscience can be cleansed of every tormenting sin completely. Hallelujah. And he stands and there's the accuser and he says, Jesus says, just receive my blood and the accuser will shut up. Receive the blood and the accuser's voice is shut up. Hallelujah. So let's lift a cup. Go ahead and say, I'll drink to that. All right, now Jesus, just pray with me. Father God, thank you for the shed blood of Jesus. With rejoicing in my heart, I thank you for forgiving me for all of my sins. And I receive your mercy on my soul. And I receive your empowering grace with you inside of me to live better than I could before. And now in Jesus' name, because of the blood, I choose to be a forgiving person. Let's hold it up and let's partake together. Thank you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Go ahead and love on each other, church. Praise the Lord.